Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, and thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred with another episode of Study, Grow, Know. This one is called How Would You Do It? Part 1. And as always, I've got a number of links at the top of the transcript. I'd like you to choose to investigate those or not. It's totally up to you. I put them there for your benefit. There's a number of them that I think speak volumes, and I may mention those throughout. But if not, no worries. Just look at the transcript and look at the links and then go from there. Now, on with the main subject. Here's a question for you. If you were Satan, how would you usher in the final global kingdom? I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here. I'm simply asking readers to consider exactly what Satan, who is abject evil, would do to bring about the final secular humanist God-denying global empire. Now, clearly this final kingdom will come to fruition over a period of time, just as every other empire in history has done, right? The Babylonian Empire did not all of a sudden appear overnight. The Assyrian Empire did not appear overnight. None of them, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, the Roman, none of them appeared overnight. There was a long time in building those kingdoms until they got to a point where they were actually stronger than the kingdom that was standing when they came to the fore, which made it easier for the Grecian Empire, for instance, to take over the Medo-Persian Empire and the Roman Empire to take over the Grecian Empire, etc. Those things didn't just plop down on the earth. They didn't come up out of nowhere in an instant. They were built over time. So it is a fair question, and I think one that may help us realize that what is going on with COVID-19 is exactly what Satan is using at this point in time. Now, as we've noted previously, and I stand by this, the rapture will likely be the big global event and final push for this coming empire. But surely this final empire is in the works now and has been made that way for decades. It's been coming. COVID-19 is simply something that is being taken advantage of or used right now to make it happen more quickly. But I think other events are also going to occur. And I think the rapture happening before the tribulation will be the final push, the final impetus to usher in that final kingdom. You know, we hear a lot about the Great Reset and that's coming, etc. Yes, it is coming. It's being worked on. But honestly, quite frankly, I think the Great Reset pales in comparison to what Satan has as far as plans for this entire world. Now, Satan's kingdom is described as darkness, 1 John 1:5-7, and the domain of darkness, Colossians 1:13-14. Darkness is the opposite of what God is, who is light and truth. The kingdom of darkness includes all sinful behavior, murder, lying, cheating, stealing, etc. All sin is the foundation of Satan's domain of darkness. Nothing about Satan's kingdom is light or truth. It's all darkness. This is what is beginning to cover the world now in earnest. In earnest. It's been with us for many decades, but it is now ramping up at an unbelievable pace, and that is made possible because of COVID-19 and the thoroughly repressive mandates crippling and enslaving world societies. Now, Daniel 2 introduces us to the final kingdom that will lead up to the return of our Lord Jesus. You'll no doubt recall the circumstances under which the prophet Daniel was called to Nebuchadnezzar to provide an explanation to the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had that seriously upset him. We read about that in Daniel chapter 2, 1. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Well, since not one of Nebuchadnezzar's wise men could provide not only the translation, and Nebuchadnezzar was smart enough to actually demand that they provide the content of the dream as well as the interpretation, he wasn't going to give them an inch. The king gave the order to have all the wise men slain because no one could do it, and that order included Daniel. But Daniel asked what was going on and why the king seemed to be in such a hurry to have all the wise men slain. Well, he learned of the situation and asked that time be given for him to find out the dream and the meaning. And it was granted to him in Daniel 2, 17 through 19. So Daniel, along with his three friends, who were later tossed into the fiery furnace, you'll recall, began praying, and God provided the dream and the interpretation. So we learn of the kingdoms that Nebuchadnezzar first dreamed of, and we are blessed because of that knowledge and the meaning of it. When was the last time you read through the book of Daniel? If it has been a while or never, may I respectfully request that you open the book and refresh your memory. It is a gem, especially for those living in the last days as we are. And don't forget, toward the end of the book, the angel tells Daniel, seal up the book and its contents, for it is for those living in the latter days. That's a paraphrase, but I believe it's talking about us, because these are the last days before the seven-year tribulation occurs, and then Jesus returns to end that seven-year period. But the specific empires that Nebuchadnezzar learned of were, and you can read about them yourself in Daniel 2, 27 through 45, Babylonian, which was the head of gold, the Medo-Persian Empire, which came after that, which is represented by the chest and arms of silver, the Grecian Empire, represented by the belly and thighs of bronze, Romans, legs of iron, Revised Roman Empire, feet part clay and part iron. Now, what's interesting here is it's the feet of part clay and part iron that are smashed by the stone made without hands. This, of course, is the return physically of our Lord Jesus, who smashes all that remains of the final empire to the wind. And that empire will exist when he physically returns. I think it should be clear, but maybe not to some, that when Jesus came the first time, he did not smash or destroy the Roman Empire. So we're talking about something that happens later. And I would like to also point out all the scriptures in the Bible that point to a second coming, which many people take allegorically. And they, even though they take his first coming as having been here physically, he was here physically, but even though the angels in Acts 1 tell the apostles, the same Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing, who you saw rise up into the heavens will come the same way. Well, how? Physically. In other words, every eye will see him. But some people ignore that, and they prefer to believe that, oh, well, he's coming, you know, allegorically. He's coming, but not every eye is going to see him. He's coming spiritually. That's what that means. No, it doesn't mean that if we are to take the Bible in its most plain and ordinary sense. So historically, we've seen the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and the Roman empires all come and fall. Many conservative Bible scholars believe that the Roman Empire did not fully fall, but remains to some extent in modern-day Europe. We know that it took hundreds and hundreds of years for the actual Roman Empire to break apart, but remnants of it seem to remain, specifically within the Roman Catholic Church. Here we are in 2021, and what we see on the biblical landscape is the coalescing of the final revised Roman Empire on the horizon. This final secular humanistic empire will be headed up by Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2, and also many portions of the book of Daniel, and it will literally fill the entire world. It will truly be global. Now, in many ways, the previous four empires were also global, including the Roman Empire, because they ruled the then known world. With each new empire, it absorbed the previous one and extended its reach until finally, with the Roman Empire, it went all the way to what is now Great Britain in the north and the south to the top of Africa. That was a huge empire for those days. It was believed to have incorporated the entire world. However, the final revised Roman Empire, or call it whatever you want, the one that Antichrist rules, will literally rule and fill the entire world. And if you read anything by Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, you will find and understand that those are their intentions to great reset the entire globe, to bring everything under their control. If that does not sound to you like a coming global empire, I don't know what to do for you. The final coming empire will be much easier to control, though, in many ways, because of the technology that exists today. Whether people want to think about it or not, society has come under far greater measures of surveillance than at any other time in history. In fact, the measures for greater surveillance and control of populace are increasing at a very fast pace. If you don't believe this, just look at what's happening in Australia. It started off as a prison for Great Britain. That's where they would send their most malevolent and incorrigible prisoners to the island of Australia. And it has become a current modern day prison for people living there now. They have set up camps for anyone who is healthy, but supposedly has come in contact with other people who have COVID or tested positive for COVID. They are removed from their homes. They are placed in COVID camps. I mean, it's ridiculous, but how is that possible? Surveillance through smartphones, social media, and everything else. Because of smartphones, GPS watches, and the proliferation of security cameras in many cities and homes, people can be tracked very easily in real time like never before. This was never the possibility during the Roman Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Babylonian, the Grecian. Can you imagine if they had had this technology? They would have loved it. They did very, very well with what they had. Now, obviously, even though these things were not available to the previous empires mentioned in Daniel 2, they are available now. And because of these forms of surveillance, most of us don't even think about the fact that anyone who has access to satellites can see where we are and what we're doing. It's that simple. We know also that as far as the many social networks on the internet, the tracking continues there as well. In fact, our very written words are seen, recorded, digested, and in many cases are cause for censoring, shadow banning, or outright banning. Things will likely get progressively worse as the controllers tighten things down over we, the controlled. If you're not part of the elite, you are the controlled. They are the controllers. And they do this because of what Satan has allowed them to do and become. Do we really believe that Satan's final secular humanist empire will simply appear all of a sudden overnight, we'll be going along, and then we wake up the next morning and poof, like the wall of Berlin, it's just going to appear out of nowhere with no foundation upon which it is to be built? Well, obviously, we cannot be going on normally one day and then the next, poof, hey, there it is, the final global kingdom, and there's the Antichrist on the horizon. It just can't magically appear. This final kingdom, like all previous kingdoms, will come into existence incrementally. And I think that is happening faster today than it would have and had happened previously with all the other kingdoms that came before. And I believe this incremental existence of this final empire will occur until an event occurs that catapults the final form of this coming kingdom onto the world stage. And I've noted previously that I believe this major event is the rapture, which will throw the world into absolute disarray. And reassuring voices will need to step up to assuage the world's fears. So imagine, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, a snap of the finger, millions of people will be gone off the face of the earth. What do you think that is going to do? What is going to be left behind? Destruction, confusion, fear. There will be calls to work together now that the quote-unquote malcontents, Christians, are gone, because now nothing holds the world back. This will also allow the Antichrist to be revealed, 2 Thessalonians 2. And as I've mentioned before, the New Age movement They have been teaching what they call a great evacuation of malcontents for years. George Van Tassel was doing it in the late 1940s. Barbara Marciniak and others have been bringing that whole concept forward. They all talk about one day at a single point in time, instantly, and they even use the term in the twinkle of an eye, millions will be gone. Barbara Marciniak says 20 million people or more will be gone. They will be taken up to waiting alien spaceships just out of our view, and they will be carried to other planets where they can evolve spiritually at their own pace. This is what they've been teaching. This is what they've been teaching. Obviously, Satan is trying to cover his bases so that when the rapture does happen, there will be an explanation for it for those people who are left behind. It's very, very clear. Without that explanation, certainly the leaders won't know what to say. They won't. They would have to assume that aliens simply attacked. But the reality is, with this explanation ready to go and has already been in teaching to those people in the New Age movement, there will be people who can stand up and say, no, let's calm ourselves. Here's what happened. And this is why it happened. So now we can go on and do what we need to do and coalesce. We've gotten rid of those pesky Christians. Nothing can keep us from uniting as it was in the days of Nimrod. But before this major event can happen, a foundation needs to be created and put in place. And I believe that foundation is happening now in earnest, and it has been since before the inception of COVID-19, but certainly seriously ramped up since we first heard of COVID-19. Who would have thought prior to January 2020 that the world would be at this point where we are seeing more and more businesses mandating that all employees must have the CV-19 injections or lose their jobs? Who would have thought that? They would have been called conspiracy theorists if there were people around who were saying that then. The message has been that it is the unvaxxed who are spreading CV. While in reality, according to many of the studies and reports I've been reading, and some of those are listed in the links I provide at the top of the transcript, it is the vaxxed who are creating more of the problem and spreading CV and coming down with the Delta variant, et cetera, et cetera. Now, according to J.D. Farag, and again, he's in my links, Hawaii is starting a 60-day rule where a person cannot go into most places. Grocery stores and farmers markets are exempt without proof of vaccine or a test showing negative to CV-19 within the past 48 hours. If you have not gotten the vaccine and have proof of it, if you've not gotten a test and prove that you're negative, you can't get in to restaurants, to gyms, to any other place except grocery stores and farmer market. Now, this kind of fascism is beyond the pale and exactly what is forcing the world to kowtow to powers that be to usher in the Great Reset. This is the first time in the history of America that I can recall and recall studying about that we are being forced not only to take a medical procedure, but we're doing so against our will, whether we want it or not. And if we don't get it, we're being threatened with all kinds of things. This was not the case during the polio epidemic and other epidemics. Now, if you take the time to go through the links I've included at the top of the transcript for this episode, you'll learn that doctors and other medical professionals are all extremely concerned about the way they believe we are being lied to and caution is being thrown to the wind. In fact, Dr. Byron Artis, linked above in the transcript, verbally cold cocks Dr. Anthony Fauci for what he believes has been the deliberate attempt to make CV-19 appear much worse than it is by prescribing remdesivir to people in the hospital based on Fauci's own citing of an Ebola study where the drug was used. What Fauci did not tell anyone is that remdesivir was actually pulled because of the harm and deaths it caused in the Ebola study. Now, in fact, as Dr. Brian Artis explains in the video that I've linked in the transcript, remdesivir is what he believes is causing the majority of deaths in the USA for people hospitalized and treated for CV-19. Health officials have been and continue to tell us that the culprit is actually COVID-19 that's killing people. But Artists explains that people are actually dying from the things caused by remdesivir. I would encourage you to watch the video for yourself and then continue researching. But all of this related to CV-19, the deaths, the injuries, the vax, the coming boosters, and the rest of it, it is all serving a very united, nefarious purpose. That purpose is to create the very foundation upon which the final empire will rise. In Dr. Carrie Madej's interview, also linked in the transcript, she talks about the growing surveillance of people as well as the increased amount of control exercised over global society. She also discusses nanotechnology that will allow people to have an app on their phones that will literally download drugs and or information code into their systems via that embedded nanotechnology in their bodies. And I think it's interesting that it is being highlighted, she notes, as extremely good and beneficial for all humanity, because it will all be done through the use of artificial intelligence, AI, injected into our bodies. In order for that to happen, obviously, this nanotechnology has to be self-aware and able to think. It will result in making physical doctors obsolete. She says this because everything will be driven by computer and computer codes downloaded into our systems. Our systems are our bodies. And she also talks about what she personally has seen under the compound microscope related to the CB19 serum injections. And it's a bit hair-raising, so you'll probably want to view that one. Now, I want to be clear here. I realize this sounds like science fiction, but for anyone who has read anything produced by Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum, it really is not science fiction. It is something that is being put into place. This also is part of the foundation for the coming final global empire. Again, how do we think that Satan is going to make this empire appear? The whole of global society will be controlled by the controllers, and the absolute first controller is Satan himself. So why would they tell us the actual reason for what they're doing? Wouldn't they always want to put a good spin on it? Does Satan ever let his followers know the real reason he does anything? Of course not. He wants them to think that he loves them and cares about them. He just showers them with wealth beyond measure, and with it, the power for them to do just about anything they want. He obfuscates the truth with a mixture of lies and truth, but mainly lies. His goals are to utterly control the world. You fill in the blanks regarding how he's going to do that. But base it on scripture, please. Base it on the revealed character of Satan that is revealed in God's word. Now, the final global empire, I believe, is in front of us. And because of that, it is sometimes difficult to believe that our dear leaders actually want the best for us, in spite of what people may want to believe. In reality, the controllers work in conjunction with Satan, whether they do so knowingly or unknowingly, to bring a new world order to fruition. Now, in order for this new world order to come into existence throughout the entire world, obviously, the foundation for it must be carefully laid. And I think that's happening now. If we can understand that this is what is occurring, we will be better equipped to know how to approach things and what we should avoid. What I've learned over the past 18 months or so is that I'm finding that this world is lacking a great deal of luster. There are way too many things I simply don't want to participate in anymore. The movies, the television coming out of Hollywood are nothing I'm interested in. My wife and I pick and choose what we watch through Roku TV. We rarely watch commercials because we don't have to, except on YouTube, which I skip through as quickly as possible. For me, camping in our pop-up, getting together with family and like-minded friends and Christians and enjoying fellowship at our new church is what we enjoy. I truly feel as though we have walked and are walking still away from Babylon, and I'm very glad. I'm also focusing much more on the coming of our Lord, which, according to my understanding of Scripture, could be any day. Don't you love His appearing? Do you love the fact that Jesus will one day appear? When I'm not focusing on his return, I notice that the cares, concerns, and worries of this world eat at me. Once I realize what's going on, I then force myself to start repeating memorized scripture to myself to get my thinking focused on where my thinking should be. How do you deal with the anxieties of life and cares of this world? My wife goes to a pop-up camping site on a social network, and it appears that many campers are Christians. But what always amazes her and me is when she comes across the question posted by someone, "What's a good devotional?" It's been years since I used a separate devotional book that quotes a verse or two of scripture for each new day, then provides a quick commentary. My wife and I spend every morning reading his word, then we often look at the commentary notes from a variety of Bible scholars. But we read through the Bible in a year. When I first began reading his word daily years ago, I recall not much sinking in. Now, years later, I tend to spend more active time thinking about what I've read during the morning. It has made a big difference as my focus is more on Christ, things to come, and the culmination of all things. We are sojourners here. We are strangers. Our citizenship is in heaven. Shouldn't we be focusing on that? Doesn't that, in and of itself, give us more of a clear picture of our purpose here? The clear truth appears to be that the Lord is separating authentic Christians from inauthentic ones. If you do not know the Lord, then I'd strongly like to suggest that you make sure you are saved. And like any relationship, it is incumbent upon each person to work at deepening our relationship with Jesus. It requires effort on our part. This is exactly what Paul means when he tells believers to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. We do not work to gain salvation. We work on our relationship with Jesus. That means we read his word daily. We pray often, seeking his will and submitting ourselves to him. It means we are deliberate in our relationship with Jesus, just as we are deliberate with other people with whom we have relationship and who are important to us. But if you're not sure that you know Jesus, I would strongly recommend that you go through our particular page on gaining salvation. It is linked in the transcript. If you have any questions, please post a comment. I will respond to you. May the Lord keep and bless you. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.